And welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. I am your host, Yo, and this is the show where we want to challenge you, encourage you, but most of all, get you to think, get you to understand why you believe what it is you believe about the Christian faith. Tonight, we're going to take a look at Christians and politics. The election is only a year away. I say only a year away because it feels like it could be tomorrow with all the news that you hear about the election that's going on right now. Now, granted, it is a unique election. It's been a long, 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 long time since there's been no incumbent and no vice president running for the office of the presidency, which makes it a wide open field. Hence the reason you have, I don't know, I've lost track of how many candidates are running for office this time around, but it's made it a very unique election. And even though we're still a year away from the actual election, political news has dominated a lot of the headlines. Well, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about that from a Christian perspective and talk about how much Christians should be involved with the political process. Before we get to that, though, I do want to remind you of a couple things. First of all, it's a celebration of Veterans Day this weekend, and certainly we applaud all of our veterans who have served our country, giving us the right to vote, who have preserved our political process and all the unique freedoms that we celebrate in this country. My dad is a veteran, so thank you, Dad, for all of your service. I really appreciate that. Also want to remind you that this week, it's Operation Christmas Child Collection Week. If you have a shoebox that you've been filling up for a little girl or boy, this is the week that you need to bring them in. And really, this is no Land of Manana type of thing where you can, I'll just get to it. Because if you don't get it in on time, that shoebox is just going to sit around in a warehouse until next year. There really is a stringent deadline on this. So the kids can get these boxes in time for Christmas and have a Merry Christmas. So if you got a shoebox, be sure to turn that in this week. You can drop it by the M88 Studios, 4001 Osuna Road, Northeast. I actually spent my weekend collecting some toys and putting them into a shoebox. My girls wanted to get toys for a girl, so I spent most of my weekend in the girls section of toy stores and stuff.
Okay.
Kind of awkward, but
that's
still enjoyable.
That's a little awkward, definitely.
Brian Dees is my guest tonight. Brian Dees, you hear on nights here on M88, a guy who does a lot of work around the station and is also a very opinionated fella. And
well,
part
you,
of the reason why I wanted to have him on tonight's show, because we've actually had a lot of conversations about this particular topic, politics and Christian involvement in politics, that I think have been very good discussions. We don't agree a lot, but that's part of what makes the discussion so fun for me. And we should make clear that anything that's discussed tonight are our opinions.
Yeah, and I think that's very important that sorry, I'm motioning for more headphone noise. I think it's very important because it's very easy to get worked up in a frenzy over politics, and it's I think even more than a lot of other issues, people just get in this weird mood every 4 years where it's like the church kind of one person, you know, you have two candidates and one person goes one way, one group of people goes one way, one group of people goes the other, and it can become very fractured and angry over politics. And yeah, this is just our opinions. This is not, you know, this is not how
M88 thinks.
Yeah, this is not
Calvary
representation of M88 or Calvary of Albuquerque. This is just us. So
just want to make that very, very clear. And
yes,
part of, you know, what we're doing tonight is just to get you to think why you believe what you believe, especially about Christian involvement in politics. Because as we are approaching, I guess, the election time, even though it's a year away, but there's so much talk about it, maybe a year out is a good time to really take a step back and look at this whole process and just how involved Christians should be in it. And we'd like to know what you think about Christians and politics. 505-338-5790. How involved should we be in politics? Should we even vote? Give us a call, 505-338-5790, as we talk about Christians and politics. Now, Dees has a very, I don't know what to call it, you have a very interesting stance so far as this whole voting idea goes, mm-hmm, that has caused a lot of conversation around the M88 offices with our coworkers and whatnot. And that was part of the reason I said, you know, let's just do a raw talk on this because it's generating all this conversation here,
yes,
at work. So why not have our listeners join in and hear what we've been talking about? So why don't you explain to people a little bit your attitude towards the upcoming election and what's been happening recently,
okay,
with all the election news that we've been hearing?
I come from a very active family when it comes to politics. My grandmother, my grandparents, my family, my dad, my everyone in my family has over the years, at least if not been very opinionated, very active somewhat in the discussion over politics and very passionate. I come from a very passionate family of people. That's probably where I get it from. Needless to say, this year's this coming election next year, I've really over the past several years, probably the past three or four, been kind of driven to the point where it's like I don't even want to vote. And that's something that has I've heard a lot from the church, from people I know that are like, well, you have to vote. You know, you have to be involved in politics. It's important as an American and as a Christian to be involved in changing the world and doing all these things. And I come from the opinion that Jesus Christ does not talk a whole lot about politics. In fact, the only thing he says about politics, for the most part, is pay to Caesar what is Caesar's. That's in Matthew. And I think that we can get so worked up over politics and worked into such a frenzy. I've become very just disappointed in how politics have developed into just a 4-year just slugfest between people that otherwise should get along fine. But they take politics and they use it to drive a wedge between the people they love, even, you know, like an example being my family. So I've had that happen in the past, and it's just, it doesn't need to be like that. And another thing is, I don't see any candidates, honestly, at this point, and it's a year out, this could change, but I don't see any that are worth voting for at this point.
So you're basically, what you've been saying, and this is what's generated all the talk around here, is you don't see anyone worth voting for.
Yeah.
Therefore, you're not going to vote at all.
Yeah, and the kind of feedback I've gotten is, well, you know, you have to. And that's it. That's the feedback I've gotten. It's, you know, you have to vote. You have to be involved in politics. And my question is why? Because it's not talked about a whole lot in the Bible. It is talked about briefly, and it's never really gone into extensively.
Well, there you go. There's the question. Why? Why should Brian vote? 505-338-5790. If you think you can convince Brian otherwise, this is the one opportunity you're going to have to do that as we talk about Christians and politics. How involved should we be? How involved do you think D should be? How involved should I be? Any of us. Give us a call if you got an opinion on this. 505-338-5790. Now, Brian is not really alone in this opinion about, you know what, I'm just not going to vote. As a matter of fact, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, 25 to 35% of people who are of voting age are not even registered. That's around 45 to 65 million Americans out of around 300 million Americans currently in our nation. And even those who are voted, upwards of 53% who are eligible to vote did not do so in 2000, and only 39% voted in 2002. So Brian's not the only one, apparently, who has this opinion of, you know what, I'm just not going to. And it's as much of a right for me not to vote as it is to vote. So the question is, well, is that a good stance to take as a Christian? Should Christians be more concerned about politics or less concerned about politics? We want to know what you think. 505-338-5790. We have Shannon on the line. Shannon, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hi, guys. I heard what Brian had said, and my dad's in the military. He's actually serving in Iraq right now. And my sister-in-law called the other day and said, read me this bumper sticker about, you know, pretty much talking about the, the people in the military, and it totally just broke my heart. And I know that that's not what you were talking about, but I just feel like it is such a black and white world now, and if we don't give our opinion, I mean, even if I, to be honest with you, Brian, I know that there aren't, you know, there's a lot of candidates out there that I definitely don't agree with, and even the, I am a Republican, and even the Republican candidates, I don't even, you know, 100% agree with, but I feel like if I vote for the one that will portray as much of my beliefs into their, like, how they would run things, then, I mean, it's better than some of the other candidates out there. That's just my opinion.
Well, that's a good opinion to have, and go ahead, Brian.
I appreciate that feedback, and let me first say I we love the military. We love people who serve in the military. I have a second cousin who is a tank commander in Kuwait, and he's active military. And I think that I'm stoked for people to vote. You know, I'm not anti-voting.
Right,
I'm not like,
right.
you know, use it or lose it. I'm not anti-voting at all. I think that it's a right that we have, and we should, if we so desire, we should exercise it. But
absolutely.
I think it's easy, very easy, as I have in the past, to put politics and put politicians up on this pedestal and raise these expectations to where we think that this politician is going to change the world. You know, this politician is going to do all these amazing things, and I think we forget sometimes that they're people too. You know, and they make mistakes,
absolutely.
And they're flawed. And
they're human, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, of course. And I just think it's, for me, it's just this year, I might sit it out. And I would never say, you know, I don't think you should vote. I think that, you know, if you're well-informed on the candidates, I think that's a big thing. I don't think you should just go out and vote for whoever, you know. I think it's something
absolutely.
That should be taken very seriously. You should
absolutely.
Know what you should
There's
know.
There's this huge yeah. issues that yeah. are, it's scary. I mean, if the wrong person gets in there, you know.
Yeah,
who knows
well,
what could happen.
Shannon,
yeah.
let me ask you this. What, in your opinion, would be the qualifications for the right person?
Well, I'm so conservative, so this may not be the same for everybody, obviously, but no abortion, gay and lesbian rights are out the door. The war, I feel like my dad told me before I left, he said, you know what, I want to get this done and over with so that my grandchildren don't have to fight this war. I think we need to get it done and over with. Those guys hate us over there. And we don't, I'm not getting briefed by, you know, the president and all of this stuff. So I don't know exactly what's going on. The president does. And I feel like, you know, we need to give him a break, give him a chance, you know. I just feel like this liberal media that, you know, people get fed into, that's all they listen to, and they don't get the whole story. And so, you know, then it's just, you know, boo this one candidate or this one person, and we don't know everything. We don't understand it all, and we're not supposed to, you know, because otherwise the bad guys would know what we knew, you know?
Yeah. Well, Shannon, thank you so much for your chiming in with your opinion tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good evening, Shannon.
You too.
Now, Shannon brings up something that comes up a lot when we talk about mm-hmm. this political idea, you know, asking her, okay, so what are the qualifications for the right person to be president? And, you know, she brought up the abortion issue and gay rights and all that type of stuff. And granted, that's all very important stuff. But my question has always been, how does that qualify someone as competent to run an entire nation? Those particular issues alone. You know, we have this whole big deal going on with Giuliani because mm-hmm. of his stance on abortion. You know, that's what's determining whether or not people support him for president or not. And again, an important issue. But my question is, why is that the only issue that we're so scrutinizing so far as his qualifications for running one of the most powerful nations in the world is the idea of abortion? Why is that the qualification that we're concerned about? Because it doesn't seem to do a whole lot in the grand scheme of things so far as one's ability to run the nation of America.
I think that if we want so – I think people are very passionate about abortion. I understand why. People just are. It's a very passionate issue because you're talking about a human life. And I think that regardless of who wins the presidential election this coming year, if they're a Republican, if they're a Democrat, if they're pro-life, if they're pro-choice, let's say Roe versus Wade is overturned in the next 10, 15 years. We're still a nation that is not following after God. We're still a nation of people who are not set on following Jesus Christ. And until the hearts of the people that live in this country change, legislating morality and saying, this is how you need to behave, this is how you need to act, until people know Jesus Christ, that's not going to matter because people's hearts are not going to be changed. And people are still going to want abortion on demand. They're still going to want, you know, all this stuff that it does them no good. And until their hearts are changed, legislation is not going to do a thing. The judicial process, the courts, appeals, overturning things, re-overturning things, and re-overturning things is not going to change anything until people's hearts aren't changed.
It's so funny for me to hear you say that, because I can remember a couple of years ago when we're having this conversation, and I was the one saying that to you.
Well, you know, God changes people's hearts, you know, and he changed mine. He really did, because I was becoming a bitter, angry person about politics.
Yes, you were.
And I will not hesitate to admit that, you know. It's very easy to become so engaged in the political process that you just – it eats away at you, and I've seen it too many times, even in my own life.
Well, you know, and I think it's been a blessing for me to see, you know, with you and Steve-O and some of the other people that we work with, how we've all matured in Christ, and you never know how your opinion is going to change as you draw closer to Christ. We have Vonda on the line. Vonda, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Thank you. How are you doing, yo?
Good. What's up, Vonda?
I think that not voting just gives the Democrats an upper hand. I mean, just because I don't like Giuliani, and I think that it's totally lame that he's pro-gay and he's pro-abortion, because I myself have had an abortion when I was young, and I got talked into it by a boyfriend, and to this very day, I still freak out on it, and it still upsets me, and I keep a picture of that ultrasound of that little baby that was mine, and it really breaks my heart. And, you know, it's so easy for guys to talk women into things when they're vulnerable like that, and making abortion legal just, you know, keeps that, you know, that door open for men to do that. And you know, gay rights, you know, look what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And our country is just going down the tubes. But I think Hillary, or, you know, let's say she wins, and Obama are also gay rights and abortion activists. So, you know, if we've got both of them, we need to look at the rest of the picture.
Now,
And I think that we'd have a better shot at Giuliani hiring more right-wing judges that may be against abortion and against gay rights, that might keep, you know, we just have a better shot, and we should vote for that shot rather than just giving it away to the Democrats.
Articulate for me, because I thought it was interesting how you said that not voting gives the Democrats in the upper hand. And I love how when people talk politics, it almost sounds like they're talking sports sometimes. You know, it's all this strategizing about who has the edge, and if we do this, then they can do that. I've always found that fascinating, and I don't know if you intended to have it sound that way, but I thought it was very interesting that you brought it, give the Democrats in the upper hand. Articulate for me exactly what you're concerned about the Democrats having the upper hand in.
Well, definitely the abortion and the gay rights. Just, you know, cranking up the taxes and going bananas and giving away the $5,000 per child, and you know, and the Social Security rights. If we didn't have abortion in the first place, we wouldn't be having all these problems with Social Security, because there'd be enough people on the planet to be feeding into the Social Security system. I mean, the whole decline of our Social Security was because of Roe versus Wade and abortion.
Well, Vonda, thank you so much for calling in and voicing your opinion on this. I'm sure you've given Deez a lot to think about so far as the idea of voting or not voting. Appreciate your feedback tonight, Vonda.
Thanks a lot, yo.
You bet. Have a good evening. And if you'd like to join in with our conversation about how involved should Christians be in politics, you know, Deez basically setting all this off by saying, I feel apathetic about voting. Maybe I won't vote. And that's caused a lot of controversy right here in our office. And, you know, back in the last election, I had Democratic leanings. Well, that caused a lot of controversy in our office. And I didn't even get a chance to articulate why. I just said the D word. And suddenly, you know, I was an outcast because I even mentioned the D word in a conservative Christian setting. So, again, the question is, well, how involved should we be in politics? Deez, you got something to say?
And hence the fracturing that we're talking about. You know, if somebody says I'm a Democrat, it's like, pounce on them, you know. It's like, really? Why? They're a human being. They have political opinions. And I think that we've gotten to the point where, as a country, we're so fractured, and we're all about everyone wants to make America better, right? In their opinion, mm-hmm. People want health care for everyone. They want better gas emissions. They want a cleaner environment. They want all these things: cleaner air, oxygen, all this stuff. And in the scheme of things, those don't matter a whole lot. And this might be controversial, too, but if you take a look at the position America is in, we are incredibly blessed. We have health care. Anyone in America can get health care. If you're sick, you can go to a doctor and get health care. It's going to cost money. It's going to cost more or less money depending on what kind of health care plan you have. But you can go get help if you need it. There's countries where that's impossible. We have our air is getting cleaner every day. We have safe foods for the most part. We have cars. Everyone drives. Lots of people own houses. There's not a whole lot of poverty compared to the rest of the planet. And these are little things, in my opinion, a lot of which we're just fighting over and we're kicking and screaming and clawing each other over. And that's part of why I've become disillusioned with it, because there's people out there dying without a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the city of Seattle is fighting over whether they want to build a viaduct or a tunnel to ease traffic in downtown Seattle. When I was out there, there was this mass uproar in the newspaper over whether they were going to build this viaduct or not. And it's like, is this really what
no
we've come down to?
But no churches when you were out there.
No churches.
No churches.
But the viaduct, you know.
Yeah.
And the seafood's great. So other than that, though, I mean, but people, you know what I mean? People are not saved, and people are going to hell every day. Let me be blunt. They are. And we're fighting over stuff like, how much health care is going to cost.
Well, you bring up a really good point about that, and I want to get back to that. But first, we have Katie on the line. And if you'd like to jump in on our conversation about how involved should Christians be in politics, give us a call, 505-338-5790. Where is the line between being politically active and being active as a Christian? Can the two really mesh? 505-338-5790, if you'd like to join in our conversation, like Katie is doing right now. Katie, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hello.
Hey, I'm doing well. Katie, what's up?
I just wanted to call and just remind you guys what the Bible has to say about politics.
Okay.
Look at Moses. He was totally involved in politics. He led the people, and that's government right there. And, David and Saul and all the kings in Israel, I mean, and the future of politics with the Antichrist and just in Isaiah, it says that the government will lean on Jesus' shoulders. I totally think God cares, and just that we should be involved in politics. I mean, I'm only 16, and I can't do much right now. But
now, yeah. What do you think would be the result? I mean, what sort of result are you looking for from Christians being involved with politics? What are we working for as Christians when we get involved in politics?
Having one nation really under God.
Mm-hmm.
And getting as close to him as possible. I mean, I think if someone is in the government that is leading people towards Christ and just, really following after him, that this overall country will just have a beginning of wisdom and not be Sodom and Gomorrah Part 2.
Well, Katie, I'm so glad you called in, and I'm excited that there's young people who actually care about this issue. That's one thing I want to touch on later on in the program as well. How involved should young people, when you're in youth group, when you're in junior high group, when you're in college, how much of a concern should you have about politics even at that age? So I'm excited that you're concerned about this, and thank you so much for calling in and sharing, all right?
All right, thanks.
All right, have a good evening, Katie. Katie brings up an interesting point about, what we're working for is one nation truly under God. I came across a quote from C.S. Lewis that I thought was very interesting. It's from his book, Mere Christianity. And C.S. Lewis said, "A Christian society is not going to arrive until most of us really want it. And we are not going to really want it until we become fully Christian." Which I thought was a very insightful statement so far as how to achieve a Christian society. And the thing that I find interesting in relation to this conversation is there are no politics involved in that statement that he made. In fact, a lot of C.S. Lewis's comments when it came to politics I thought were really fascinating so far as how involved Christians should get involved with that. And we'll come back to that. What do you want to say, Deez?
I just wanted to read out of Romans 13, if I may.
Absolutely.
This is Romans 13, chapter 1. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Paul is telling us to submit to our governing authorities, regardless of who they are. And in this situation, Paul is talking to the church in Rome, and the government in Rome at the time was not run by Christians at all. In fact, that was the government that would later have him executed. And Paul's not talking about Christian leaders. And this, what happened here at the time of Paul, the gospel was spread regardless of who was in political power. The gospel was spread without Christian leaders. In fact, persecution of Christians by the government is what spread the gospel in the book of Acts and in Paul's letters to the church. That's pretty clear. And it's regardless of who's in office, regardless of whether it's a Christian in office, should have no bearing on our relationship with God or how we're involved in politics. You know,
we have Stacy on this line. Stacy, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Stacy?
Well, my opinion on it is that, you know, they were talking Republicans and Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first thing you got to do is you got to look at each party and decide historically what their platform stands for.
Mm-hmm.
The platform for, you know, the Republicans, one of the reasons that we don't have slavery anymore is because the people in the North thought that was just, you know, bad to have slavery. And then you've got the Democrats who ended up fighting for the rights of the working class.
Mm-hmm.
So based on those principles in and of themselves, to change the way that we look as Christians, I think you've got to have both viewpoints from both sides to run a nation. You can't just have all of one point and not of another point. So as Christians, our involvement should be within the parties to either change the party platform to where the platform is a Christian platform where all can be involved with that, or we need to, you know, or and in within that, in your primaries and voting, because that's kind of what's going on now, is people are up in arms about who's going to win primaries and who's not, and they're speculating who they think's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get into that part of it, as Christians, we owe it to everyone because we're allowed by the laws that we put in place to vote. So if you don't vote and you don't vote for the things that God would want to further, you know, our particular laws and things to be more advantage for Christians, which is what, you know, most people thought when most of the Christians went out and voted and they thought they were voting for Bush and they thought that's what they're voting for. Some of them were disillusioned and some weren't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's important as Christians that if you are given the right to do something, that you use that right, or that right can be taken away.
Now, 2 points, Stacy. First of all, I like your idea of having a very balanced approach, because that's one of the keys to a successful Christian life, whether you're involved with politics or not, is to always take things in moderation and have balance. And, you know, that's part of the reason why I enjoy doing Raw Talk, is examining both sides of an issue as much as I can in order to come away with something to think about and consider why I believe what I believe. But the question I have for you, and I'm not trying to be contentious, so everyone listening, please understand this is not a contentious question, but as you know, the host of Raw Talk, this is the way I think, and this is what I'm curious about. Why is it so necessary for any political platform to reflect Christian values? Why do we feel that is so necessary? Why is that the absolute necessity that we have when it comes to politics?
Well, for me, I don't know. You know, a lot of people don't feel that it's an absolute necessity, because when you get into absolutes, you're talking about a whole different ballgame there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you want your platforms to reflect what the majority of the people think, and so that's why when you were saying, why did everybody get such up in arms when you used the D word? For them, using the, you know, for most Christians, and there are Christians in the Democratic Party, and there are Christians in the Republican Party. But when you say to a conservative, ultra-conservative Christian that you're a Democrat, what you're saying is that you represent the liberal ideas of that party. And what the Democrats, a lot of them, stand for, besides the working class, they also stand for things like allowing freedom of choice. Well, they think of freedom of choice is allowing a mother to kill their unborn child.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, I don't think that the Lord wants us killing your unborn children.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as a Christian, the reason it's necessary to have Christians within each community is that, like, each Christian has a different area that Christ wants them to work. And if we don't all have a different area, we can't make one body, because our body works differently in different areas. But if we don't have Christian values in what we're doing and we're going about, we are not going to be a unified country or a unified body of believers.
Well, thanks so much for your insight and your comments tonight, Stacey. I really appreciate you calling in and sharing this evening.
Uh-huh, no problem.
All right, thanks, Stacey, calling in. And if you'd like to call in as well, give us a call, 505-338-5790, to join in our conversation about how involved should Christians be in politics. And going back to, you know, my question there to Stacey and to everyone, really, is like, okay, why is it so important for Christians to be involved with politics? Why are we concerned that politics are Christian? Why are we concerned that politicians are Christians? Why are we concerned about our government being run by Christians? I thought it was very interesting that C.S. Lewis, when he was talking about this very issue, he says, "I fully embrace the maxim that all power corrupts. I would go further. The loftier the pretensions of power, the more meddlesome, inhuman, and oppressive it will be. Theocracy is the worst of all possible governments. All political power is at best a necessary evil, but it is least evil when its sanctions are modest and commonplace. When it claims no more than to be useful or convenient and sets itself strictly limited objectives. Anything transcendental or spiritual or even anything strongly ethical in its pretensions is dangerous and encourages it to meddle with our private lives." That's C.S. Lewis from his essay Lilies That Fester, which I thought was a very interesting statement, because I don't know how you feel about this, Deez, but it seems that a lot of times when we talk about Christians and politics, the goal is to create a theocracy in the United States of America.
Yes, it does seem, because that's what it is. It seems as if we want everyone involved in politics to be Christian. We want everyone on the Supreme Court to be Christian. We want everyone that's president. We want all our senators. We want everybody to be a Christian. And you know what? Christians have opposing viewpoints. So regardless of who's a Christian in office, they're still going to have opposing viewpoints. And I think she nailed it when she was talking about there are Christian Republicans and there's Christian Democrats and there's Christian people who are apathetic at this position, like Brian Deez. And there, you know, that's just the case. So regardless of who's there, people are still going to have disagreements.
Now we have Kyle on the line. Kyle, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Kyle?
First of all, I want to say, Brian, I totally understand where you're coming from with not wanting to vote at times, getting frustrated with politics. I often find myself in the same boat, especially with the candidates that we have at this point in time. Man, not a lot of good to say about really anyone, and I find it frustrating. Here's where I feel Christianity and politics should mingle, so to speak. When you said it yourself that we are a blessed nation, and so often we make a big deal about stuff that maybe we shouldn't make a big deal about. Mm-hmm. I get frustrated when I see religious leaders, church leaders, or whatnot getting on their soapboxes about politics, and we don't hear anything about Christ anymore. Mm-hmm. But as a blessed nation, I think we have the responsibility to protect the rights that we have in order to go forward and share Christ, share the gospel, to bless the hungry, to protect the children, the orphans, and, you know, the widows. And I think that there's where our responsibility lies within politics, is to be involved to the point to where we can say, hey, God has blessed us as a nation, and maybe we don't agree on everything like aqueduct or downtown freeway or whatever, but, you know, I still have the right to congregate and to raise money and to support the homeless around me, or or something of to that effect. But I'm with you. I get frustrated when Christians get on a soapbox about politics.
And I hear you, and I think it's we're a very blessed nation, but I think sometimes we act very spoiled, to be honest. I think we act like we deserve better, and we deserve more. We deserve better this, better that, better whatever. And that's not promised to us. We're guaranteed nothing better. God doesn't tell us your life is going to be amazing and you're going to have a sweet car. And your Broncos are going to win every football game. He doesn't tell us these things, you know, because he doesn't set us up for failure. He sets us up for success, and he does that by giving us realistic expectations. And I think when we expect too much from politicians, and we expect too much from even the church and their involvement in politics, we are setting ourselves up to be let down.
I couldn't agree more.
Kyle, thanks so much for calling in, man. Appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
You bet. Next up, we have Jeanette on the line. Jeanette, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Jeanette?
Well, I wanted to say that that this next upcoming election is very important because the end of the world is coming, as we know. And I think this is a very important time. And as we have another year until the original election, that this presidential election will really be important because the government in the United States can take away our rights from actually having God in our workplace, in our school, in everywhere.
That's a good point, Jeanette. Thank you so much for bringing that up. I appreciate you sharing your comments with us tonight. And that actually brings up a real good point so far as, you know, I'm always trying to think of practical applications when it comes to stuff. I mean, I'm just a practical
person. You're a practical guy, man.
I'm a practical guy. And again, please don't think I'm being glib about this. I've had encounters, you know, with abortion and gay rights and all that type of stuff. But again, you know, in my mind, how is that a qualification for running an entire nation? But when it comes to issues such as what Jeanette pointed out, prayer in school, where can you display the Ten Commandments and things like that, you know, in my mind, that's stuff that has practical applications in everyday life and not just with, you know, a woman's right to choose or not to choose. And that's a very important issue. No one hear me wrong. Again, I've had experience with that that's affected my life in very deep personal ways. So don't think that I'm, again, glib on that issue. But again, how is that the only qualification that we look for when it comes to someone running for office, whether or not they're pro-choice or pro-life? There's a lot more to consider.
It's by far the most passionate issue for people.
Easily.
By far. And it's so much so that I think people just get it in their heads that, like, I can't think about anything else.
The concern here about economics? Does a candidate have a good understanding of how to take care of the economy if, as we have been seeing recently, there's a danger of inflation? What sort of moves would they make for that? Or with foreign policy? There's been a lot of foreign policy that had to have been dealt with during recent years, especially with what's been going on in Iraq. But now you have issues with Russia and other areas of the world. How are we going to deal with that? How are we going to deal with, you know, someone brought up Social Security? You know, there's all these other issues that goes into running a nation that we would want someone who's well qualified, who can make good decisions, wise decisions, can listen to advice, all this other type of stuff. And yet we keep coming back to these very moral issues. And what you pointed out earlier, in reverse of our conversation a couple of years ago, is like, we're so concerned with enforcing morality on people through having Christian politicians, when really, if you want people to make a moral choice, they need a change of heart, not a change of leadership.
And you know how that happens? You tell people about Jesus Christ, and you live a life that people see Jesus Christ in you. That's how you share Jesus with people. And if you're not doing that, and it's just all about politics, and it's all about, you know, we got to pass the ban on partial birth abortion, we got to pass the ban on taking down the cross outside of the mountain in southern Alaska or whatever, it's like, wow, you know? Are we so concerned with a lot of little things? And abortion is a big thing for people, so I'm not trying to marginalize it in the least, but we're just so passionate about things, and we forget that people are not going to change in that unless they know Jesus Christ. And he can transform them, but they need to have a loving relationship with God. And that's where it starts. That's the foundation of building, say, a Christian nation.
If you hear me laughing, it's not I'm laughing at what Deez is saying. I'm
very animated. I'm like waving my hands around.
No, I'm laughing because not so long ago, you were the guy who was saying, no, we need these types of leaders in order to change the laws, in order to adjust the behavior of people, in order to help create a more moral society. And I was the one saying, but that's not going to change their hearts until their hearts are changed. What difference does it matter what the laws are? And we had
Did we have this conversation?
Yeah, we did. And you were so passionate on the opposite side of it that it was – I just find it so amusing now to hear you passionate on the side that I was arguing for.
Well, for everyone listening out there, there is a political revolution afoot in the M88 studios here this evening. So if
next
I ever,
year is going to be an interesting year. 2008, here we come.
We're doing another one of these in the future. We have to.
Caitlin's on the line. Caitlin, thank you for hanging in there and joining us here on Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hi.
I
guess I would have to say that in 1 Timothy and in Romans, both we are encouraged to pray for our leaders and mm-hmm. be involved in politics.
Well, thank you so much for
bringing that. I guess my thing would be that if we as Christians aren't being involved in politics, then who's going to be involved? Who's going to, you know, how are we supposed to influence our nation if, you know, we're not speaking out and letting our viewpoint be heard? And I think as to the abortion topic that you guys are talking about, I think that, you know, it is something that we do definitely need to consider.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm,
I also think that it kind of shows you where they're coming from, where the politician's coming from as to how he regards an unborn baby's life is how he's going to regard other life. It kind of shows where he's going to hold everyone's life.
That's good insight, Caitlin, and I'm so glad you brought up the topic of prayer because that's something that I really wanted to touch on because it's so important, and you're right. We need to, you know, exercise our rights to influence government. You know, if we don't do it, then nothing's going to happen. But at the same time, you know, I think we as Christians forget about the power of prayer. Regardless of who's in office, why can we not pray for them? Okay, let's, you know, the doomsday scenario for a lot of conservative Christians right now is Hillary Clinton gets into the White House. Game over. Let's just check out now. Jesus Christ is coming tomorrow. You know, I mean, people are mortified of this happening. And yet, I can't help but wonder, okay, even if she makes it to the White House, couldn't we pray for her? Well, that's not involved enough. That's not going to change anything. Do we really have that opinion of prayer where we think, oh, if Hillary makes it into the office, game over, even prayer isn't going to help? In fact, you know, shouldn't prayer be like the first thing that we should do if we want to influence our country? And yet, I don't think we really believe prayer is that powerful. We believe the power of our vote is more powerful than the power of prayer. We feel that how we vote in politics, it has more influence on our nation than when we go to our knees in prayer. And in my mind, here's where I get passionate, is on this topic. So thank you, Caitlin, for helping me go off. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, exercise your right to vote. But you know what you need to do first? Exercise your right to pray. Because that is really where we as Christians have an influence on this nation, on this world, on our neighbors, on our coworkers. And it's important to have good policies, but it's more important to pray, regardless of who's in office. So thank you, Caitlin. You got me to jump up on my soapbox. Go ahead, Deez.
I'm very excited about what you just said about prayer. I'm very excited about that. And let me tell you why. I think that it's easy, and for some reason there's this like, dude, we need to pray for President Bush. We need to pray for wisdom and guidance, and we need to pray for our leaders. But where was that when Bill Clinton was in office? It wasn't. And I'm going to make a prediction. I'm not a prophet, so you can't burn me if this doesn't come true. But I think that if, let's say, a very hard left liberal is elected, there's not going to be a whole lot of talk about pray for this person.
No, and you know what? There's going to be talk about political change. Well,
yeah.
Now that they're in the office, what should we do to strategize
everything?
To make sure their policies aren't implemented? How can we block this vote? And that's what the talk is going to be.
And you know what? Jesus Christ is bigger than Hillary Clinton. He's bigger than Barack Obama. He's bigger than George Bush. He's bigger than the UN and the EU. He's bigger than all of these things. And we need to come before the living God and ask him to guide our country. And you nailed it, regardless of who is in office.
Caitlin, thank you so much for bringing that issue up. I appreciate your input tonight.
Thanks, Caitlin.
Okay.
All right. Next, we have Caleb on the line. Caleb, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hi, I'm Caleb. I just want to share a couple of verses.
Yeah, do
I
it.
I believe you brought up the 1 Timothy 2:21 verse, and it implies that we should be involved in politics because it says that we should give thanksgiving for the kings and for those in authority, and that would be our president. And if we do that, then God's going to bless us with peaceful and quiet lives, and we'll be able to live in godliness and holiness. Whereas if we don't do that, then we're going to end up most likely in a communist state. And then in Romans 14:12, it states that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And that in heaven, what that means is that in heaven, we're going to be required to give account of what we have done, or in this case, failed to do. And our biblical values should show in every aspect of our life, not just our daily lives, you know, what we do at work or home or at school, but in how we vote. And in Titus 3:1, it says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. And one of those good works is being involved in the political system. And in one of the last elections, the Department of State did a study, and over 4 million Christians overwhelmingly supported a prominent political candidate but did not vote. And I find that extremely disheartening, because it means that 4 million Christians supported someone who was going to is changing the world right now and is doing their best based on what God's telling them to do, and yet they didn't support them. And then in James 4:17 it says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. And so if we're not doing the good thing that we know God wants us to do, then it's sin. I do agree, though, that when we place politics over someone's salvation, that's not pleasing to God. Because if someone's not saved and we're arguing with them over their beliefs in the political system, it's ridiculous, because their beliefs are what make them a Democrat or a Republican. So we should, the first thing we should do is to make sure that they have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Now, Caleb, I'm kind of curious, because you brought up the idea of giving thanksgiving for the people who are in authority over us, submitting to them and all that type of stuff. But the implication I'm getting is that's what we do when the quote-unquote right person is in office. Can we still do that if the quote-unquote wrong person is in office? Can we still give thanksgiving? Can we still live in submission? Can we still do all those good, godly things, even if the quote-unquote wrong person makes it into office?
Yes, I think it doesn't state if for kings that are good and for those who are in authority who are good. It says all those who are in authority. So it's not just saying, oh, if it's a good guy or a bad guy. We should be thankful for the good things, and we should pray and be in intercession for the things that we have problems with.
Everyone listen to Caleb, all right? In a year from now, I'm going to play back this recording that even if the wrong person makes it in the office, we should still be thankful. Thank you so much,
Thanks
Caleb.
Thanks for the call, Caleb.
You have a good evening, all right?
Thank you, guys.
All right. And Jacob's been waiting on the line patiently. Thank you for hanging in there, Jacob. We've had a lot to talk about. What do you have to say, Jacob?
I just have a verse or two.
Okay.
And I agree with you guys on some things, and then just that... there's different things the Bible says about, like, praying for it, like they're saying, but there's also things about bringing it into the light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what that's about.
Turn down your radio there, Jacob.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of distracting to hear myself talking to you from 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jacob. What else were you going to say?
Okay, well... it's just that in Luke 8:17 it says that that for nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is any secret that will not be known to come to light. And you could always pray that before you decide to vote or whatever, for God to give you the revelation to know what, like, who to vote for, and, like, just to know, like, what they are in it for. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, prayer certainly, or at least should be, a very big part of our political process. Thank you for sharing that verse tonight, Jacob.
Yeah.
All right. You have a good evening. All right. Well, Deez, we've covered a lot of ground, and I think there's still more to cover, even so far as Christian always has to be Republican and never Democrat. You know, that's one of the urban legends or something. I don't know, but there's some real strong feelings even along that line when it comes to this whole idea of politics. But again, and here's where I come in on this whole debate. I'm sure people are dying to know that. I know you are, Deez.
I don't care. Just kidding. I'm very excited to hear what you have to say.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, no, it's
bro.
Okay. You know what? Thanks for joining us. Raw Talk's over. Just kidding.
I was like, really?
Oh, yeah, we're early. We're a little bit early tonight. It's warning all of our affiliates. Here's where I come in on this issue, and it's probably come out a little bit already. I think it's important for us to exercise our right to vote if we feel so inclined to do so. If you don't feel so inclined, I'm certainly not going to judge you for that. I mean, that's your right as well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
My dad served in the military for your right not to vote, and I'm glad that my dad served
in
the military to do that.
Dude, high five for your dad, man.
Yeah, I'm very proud of what my dad did. And there's been times where I voted, and there's been times where I haven't voted. There's been times where I voted Republican. There's been times where I voted Democrat. Yes, I know.
What?
I know. It's
See,
I know.
It
it's astounding.
So.
But I have always tried to maintain a very, as I've said, practical mindset of balance when it comes to this issue. And so far as discerning who is the most qualified candidate, regardless of political affiliation, which, you know,
Whoa.
Right there, most people start with a political affiliation then try to figure out who's qualified within that set of parameters. I've never felt constrained to do that. You find the most qualified person to do any job when you're doing, you know, if it's someone who's going to be a DJ, if it's someone who's going to work at McDonald's or whatever, you always try to find the most qualified applicant. Yet in our political process, we start off with, okay, here's the group of Republicans. I'll do the best of what I have here and not even look at any of the other side. But my concern has always been, especially after reading a lot of C.S. Lewis and going through reading about the church's involvement with politics throughout history, just a footnote, theocracies never worked out very well.
See
Spanish Inquisitions,
yeah.
See the Dark Ages,
Crusades.
See the Crusades. See any time where church was government, it was not a pretty picture, and we're still apologizing for a lot of those instances in history.
It ends in bloodshed every time, and it's like...
So it's never been a good thing. Now, does that mean that we don't want Christianity involved in politics? Absolutely we do, but there needs to be balance. I would never seek for America to be a theocracy just because historical precedent says that would not end well. But at the same time, it's comforting for me to know that there are people in office who do have Christian beliefs. I'm more comforted if they're well-qualified for holding that position.
Yes.
I wouldn't want to vote for someone just because they're a Christian, but they don't know anything about the job they're going to do. That doesn't seem like wisdom to me. More importantly, my concern, as Deez and I have discussed a little bit tonight, is that when it comes to shaping the hearts of a nation, when it comes to this idea, oh, our nation is falling into this cesspool of moral depravity, if only we had a real strong Christian leader, that would change, because they would enact laws and policies that would enforce moral actions and behavior on the part of people. I don't believe that would be the case. I believe what will change the morality of our nation is when I go up to my neighbor and say, hey, do you know Jesus Christ? When we reach out as individuals to individual people to help change their hearts, and that is what will change the moral situation of our nation. Now, the political process can help that. As long as I have the freedoms to share, that makes it that much easier for me to help change the moral state of the United States. If something were to happen where those freedoms were to be restricted, well, then I have a much more difficult time to do that. So as you can see, those two things need to be in balance. But I cannot rely on politics to change the hearts of people. And quite frankly, it'd be very difficult to change the hearts of people if the political process was against me, as it was in communism, was reigning in the Soviet Union, as it is in several other areas of the world where those freedoms are restricted. The church still thrives, but let's face it, I like the lack of persecution because it makes my life easier and it gives me a better opportunity. Now, I know the church thrives under persecution. I still wouldn't wish for it because it never sounds like a fun time. If the church were to be persecuted, I would still make my stand for Christ. Mm-hmm. But thank God we live in a nation where we have the freedom to share with anyone at any time, at any point. And so for me, the two always need to coexist, but one should never dominate over the other.
I agree 100%.
You didn't used to. I find this so fascinating.
Well, just, hey, man.
I'm sorry.
You're killing me, Small.
Well, I'm just excited because it's so intriguing.
Well, we'll high five after the show. It's going to be amazing.
All right, cool.
Okay, yeah. What was I just talking about?
I don't know. You're okay. About to comment on what I just commented on.
Yes. Darn it, I forgot. Go ahead, as you were.
All right. Well,
actually, you were waiting for me to say something, so
I thought you had something important that you wanted to say.
I did have something to say, but I got off of my train of thought. The train went
with
off the tracks.
With the whole high five thing.
There you go.
Well, as we wrap things up for this political discussion this evening, again, there's a lot more ground that we could cover. By the way, thank you everyone for your calls. You brought up a lot of great points. I always love talking to people during the Raw Talk. They have you guys bring up great issues that get to me thinking and examining why I believe what I believe, and that's one of my favorite parts about doing this.
We live in a country where this we're allowed to have this conversation, you know. If we're living
and
in
to broadcast
if we're living if we're living in China, we're not having this conversation.
Or broadcasting
in public at all. Yeah. We're probably not having it at all, let alone putting it out on the radio. We are incredibly blessed to be able to talk to people about Jesus, to share with people about Jesus at any time, essentially. We can tell people about Jesus at will. We get to live lives that follow after God. And I think it's very important that we remember that Jesus Christ has a heart for people. He has a heart for people regardless of whether they're libertarian or Democrat or Republican or moderate or apathetic. He loves people regardless of where they are politically. In their lives, and you know, we're extremely blessed to be able to having this, to be able to be having this conversation, and I think God has blessed our country greatly, and if you want to exercise the right to vote, go for it, take it seriously, pray about it, pick a qualified candidate, and just know that regardless of who wins, and if you pray and you ask God for guidance. God is bigger than politics. So,
well, we're still a year away from the election. Primaries are going to be beginning soon, as you've probably heard. And there are states that are trying to decide where they're going to do their primaries. There could be primaries starting in January, for all we know, the way things are going right now. But the point is, the election is still a little ways off before we have a new president. In that coming year, I would encourage you as D's to pray first and vote second. Yes, our vote can have an impact. It can make a difference. Every vote counts. We saw that 4 years ago in one of the closest elections of all time.
8 years ago.
Almost 2000.
Math. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I was never good at that. One of those times. It's happened repeatedly throughout history, especially here in the United States, where, you know, every vote can make a difference. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, your vote can make a difference. And as Christians, we do have a responsibility to try and get policies that are favorable, that will help improve society. But first and foremost, that needs to come through prayer. You can change the world through prayer. Jesus Christ never held office. Didn't even seek office. When they tried to make him a king, he ran away, disappeared. For him, it wasn't about political office. Could he have done more through a political office? I don't know. Maybe it's a hypothetical question for another time. What I do know is that he came to change the world through touching people's lives, sacrificing himself for our sins, and then rising from the dead so that we might enjoy life with him. You don't need any political process to in order to enjoy that great gift. And he never lost sight of what his purpose was, despite the temptation of political power that was often offered to him, even by Satan. I like what C.S. Lewis said. Power corrupts, and it can be so easy for us to be enticed by the allure that political power offers. Mm-hmm. We feel powerful when we're involved, when we know that we're doing something. It's so easy, especially as Christians, when we think that, oh, yes, because I have been called to the White House, I'm affecting the entire nation by the fact I was just there in that place, and now I'm so much more important, and I can mention, oh, did you know I went to the White House? So, you know, my opinion carries a lot of weight. Everyone's opinion carries some amount of weight, but your testimony is the most important thing when it comes to a person's eternal life. Never forget that, even in this coming crazy year of political talk that I'm sure is about to kick into high gear once we flip over our calendar to 2008. We haven't seen nothing yet. And that ends our political discussion for this evening. Now, what's very interesting is a lot of what we talked about this evening is going to carry over into next week's show as we talk about there seems to be an anti-church movement growing where people are like, oh, the church, it's corrupt, it's hypocritical, it doesn't know what it's doing, it's too goody-two-shoes, it's too holier-than-thou, all these criticisms about the church and how the church is becoming obsolete, let's do away with it and get back to real Christianity, living like Jesus did. And that sounds good, but are we doing something that's not so good in the pursuit of trying to be more like Jesus Christ? So we're going to talk about this anti-church movement and whether it's a good thing or something to be concerned about. We're going to have special guests joining us next week, hopefully, and it should be an interesting talk. And the reason it plays into politics is because, you know, if the church can't figure out where it is and who it is, then what sort of influence are we really having on the political process if the church can't even decide if it's useful for itself, which seems to be a running debate right now. So that'll be next week, and then the following week, of course, Thanksgiving. And we'll take a little break for Thanksgiving Sunday. So thank you so much, Deez, for joining me tonight.
Well, thank you for having me. Oh, it's always good to sit in here and discuss things which are very exciting and fun.
Yeah. Well, I always enjoy talking with you. You're a guy who sparks good conversation.
Iron sharpens iron, friend.
I know. So, we've been doing that for how many years now?
Five.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
A little over 5 years. So.
It's been awesome. I appreciate your friendship, and I appreciate all of you who listened and called in this evening for Raw Talk. Thank you for joining us. Have a great evening.